Amen. One day we'll sing that before his throne. Amen. Excited to see the Lord high and lifted up one day. This morning, as we are speaking about Appreciation Sunday, I want to look at a passage in 1 Corinthians that I pray would be a blessing and encouragement, not only to those who serve, but also maybe an encouragement to us to step into serving. And so often we think, how could I make a difference for Christ? Or what is it that I'm doing that could possibly make a difference in eternity? How could I really be a difference maker for Christ? Could I really be used of the Lord that way? And the answer is yes. Yes, the Lord can use you. And yes, what you are doing for him makes an eternal difference. I know we don't always feel like that. Those that come up and volunteer to clean at the church during the week, I'm sure when they're emptying that trash can, they're like, man, this is awesome. Like, I'm serving Jesus and a crown's in heaven and people are going to get saved because I emptied the trash today. Like, I know, like, we kind of minimize those things because we think there's levels of serving Christ. We think there's, you know, everyday serving Christ in a church where we just kind of do little things here or there. There's the next level where you teach a class. Then there's like you're like a ministry leader. And then there's like you're in ministry. So you're a pastor or you're a missionary. Like there's these degrees to serving. And while we understand that there's differences in how we serve in those different fields and the time commitment and those kind of aspects of differences, there are differences in those things. But the actual serving really doesn't change. Because the reason we serve, the who we serve, the why we serve, all remains the same. And it doesn't matter what you do for the Lord, whether you deem it as small or big, if you go into that with the right heart, you will see blessings from that, and God will glorify himself through it no matter what. But here's the trick. If we go into service with the wrong heart, it doesn't matter how small the ministry or how large the platform may be. If you go in with the wrong heart, you'll be burned out, burdened, defeated, frustrated, upset. It's just a matter of the heart. And so we have to approach serving with the right heart, the right attitude. So this morning, as we continue to say thank you to all those who serve, and they serve the Lord by serving his church. Every week we try to pray as a staff together. And one of the things we often will pray with one another is we thank the Lord that we get to serve him by serving his church. Just know as staff, as pastoral staff, Pastor Greg and myself and Kelsey as our secretary, we don't come into serving the church as just a ho-hum, like whatever, we'll just do whatever type mentality. We see this as we are so blessed to be able to serve you. And people will say thank you to us. And I always say today's more about saying thank you to you. And we appreciate the thank you, and that's great, and that's good, and that's all fine. But I want you to know we couldn't do what we do without the support of this church. Without your hands helping and serving, we cannot do everything. Not one of us can do all the things that need to be done. So together, we can accomplish these things for Christ. And so again, I want to kind of dive into this passage in 1 Corinthians. It speaks of how influential we can be for the cause of Christ in simple serving. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So go to the very end of 1 Corinthians. And if you're using one of the Bibles provided in the seats around you, there are some copies of God's Word. If you don't have a printed Bible or something on your phone or iPad or whatnot, you can use one of those Bibles. And if you're using one of the Bibles provided, you can turn to page 812. Page 812. 1 Corinthians 16. We're going to start in verse 15. And I have to tell you, there's some pulled pork going in the kitchen. And this is some smoked pulled pork that we had frozen after Anthony's open house and pulled it out. And we were warming it up this morning. And I've been going in there kind of periodically stirring it. And so now my hands smell of smoked pulled pork. So this is going to be probably the shortest sermon you will ever hear me preach. I literally just did one of these and I was like, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I was in the kitchen. I took the lid off the roaster. And you know what happens? All that steam just kind of hits you. And there were some other people in the kitchen there. And I might have used the word glorious. Like, I think And I think they were even a little shocked. Jenna and Trenton were, Jenna was like, glorious? Is that, did you say glorious? And yes, I did. It was glorious. So all that to say, we hope you'll stay with us and enjoy some pulled pork. That'd be great. So 1 Corinthians chapter 16, look with me, if you will, at verse 15. So it says here, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. And I love the verse right before 15. We're not going to get into the whole chapter, but he's wrapping up the book of 1 Corinthians, or the letter, really, in its original intent. But verse 14 is an amazing, simple verse. Let all your things be done with charity. What does that word charity mean? We think generosity, but what does it really mean? Love. Let all your things be done with love. Man, you could preach a sermon on that. Like, what's all things? It's all things. Everything be done with love. How you speak to one another, how you serve one another, how you interact with that person behind the counter who's having a horrible day. You had to wait a little longer, but maybe show love instead of criticism. Maybe when you're at the restaurant and the waitress is a little behind and seeming a little stressed, show love instead of criticism. Let all things be done with love. To love one another, to be kind, to be gracious. That doesn't mean we condone anything. And I hate that I even put that little caveat on there nowadays. It's, you say we should be loving and people are like, well, and the world's redefined love and the world's kind of totally perverted this idea of love. And so we as Christians feel like we have to like redefine love back to what it should be. But we should be able to say as followers of Christ, just be loving. Like, just be kind. Do you realize the impact you can make for Christ by just being kind? Because it's foreign today. Man, just be kind. Just be nice. And I know some of you are like, yeah, but I've had a bad day. That's fine. That's not their problem. Like, because you're in a bad mood doesn't have anything to do with them. I told my kids every day we got to school, you choose the day you're going to have. Well, yeah, but so-and-so did this. That's fine. You choose how to respond to that. They're not right in what they did. They could be absolutely wrong in what they did. And you can address that, but you can choose how you respond to it. I love that verse. Let all your things be done with charity. By the way, I preach that sermon to myself every day. Amen. I am not there yet, but I'm praying the Lord to get me there. Verse 15. We got to get going. That pork's cooking. Okay, so verse 15. I beseech you, brethren. So he's writing to the church. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That you submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Verse 18. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray that as we go into your word, that you'd give us wisdom and understanding by the moving of your spirit. But even so, Lord, with the wisdom and understanding, we pray for application. We pray to help us to apply these things to our hearts and minds, that we would live differently because of your word affecting us and changing us, and that we would desire to be servants of Christ. And that service to Christ is evidenced by how we serve one another. Specifically this morning, Lord, as we're talking about serving the church and serving the body of believers, and we know that service goes beyond these walls, but Lord, I pray that we'd realize that service happens within these walls as well. And that we are called to love one another, to use our gifts to serve one another in the body. And so, Father, again, help us have wisdom and application in all of this, that we can be glorifying to you and that we would be blessed because of it. May you, Lord, work in this morning's service. And again, thank you again for every volunteer, every servant, every person who gives. Lord, I pray they would know this morning that it makes a difference. Lord, it's inconvenient at times. It's frustrating at times. It's difficult. But Lord, it's worth it because it's for Christ. So help us to see the heart of service and the mind of service this morning, and that you would be glorified. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, at the conclusion of this letter to the Corinthian church, introduces us to three men that made an impact for Christ. Now, this is not uncommon as the last chapter of Romans and other places. Paul gives us a list of names of those that served in the ministry for which Paul was extremely grateful. The Apostle Paul, greatest Christian missionary that ever walked the earth, he understood he couldn't do it alone. He sought help both from people that would labor with him, that would serve with him, do ministry with him. He sent some on behalf of his ministry, like Timothy, who he sends to churches to minister. We see that he asked for prayer from the church because he knew he needed the prayer support of the church to do the ministry that God has called him to do. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote a third of the New Testament, says to you and I, you can't do this alone. And so as we function as the body of Christ in 2025, we cannot look at someone else and go, oh yeah, they'll do it. And if I don't do it, they'll do it. Somebody will do it. And sooner or later, what happens when you think somebody else will do it? When everybody thinks somebody else will do it, nobody does it. Or it's the same person that does everything else. And then they get burdened and they feel burned out. But instead, we say, no, no, Lord, if you've given me opportunity to serve, help me take advantage of that right where I am. And so I want to see a couple things this morning. We're going to set the stage with this group that's introduced to us, these three men. And then we'll talk about how we can apply it to our personal walk with Christ. And so the first thing we see here, and if you'd like to follow along, we have an outline available for you on our app. There's a simple outline there with all the scriptures and points that we're going to talk about this morning. If you go to North Goodland, BC in your app store, media, message notes, you'll find today's date and you can pull up that outline. I hope you guys benefit from that. I hope you enjoy having that available to you. Again, that doesn't happen by accident. I don't do one of these and the outline's on the app. That's not how that works. How many of you got that reference? You got the reference. Okay. Everyone under like 30 is like, what was that? Live life, young people. Come on. YouTube a show once in a while. No, it's I Dream of Jeannie, right? I Dream of Jeannie. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so anyway, not that I'm endorsing genies, for the record, or wishes, because I'm 2025, I got to make that clear. Okay, but you know how that outline gets from my computer to your app, to your phone? Somebody has to, I send them the outline, they take that, they format it into a right template, they load it up, they hit submit or whatever button they hit. I don't know what button they hit. I just put it on there. And then what happens? You magically open your phone and there it is. But that didn't just happen. Somebody spent time doing that. And so I'm so thankful for the people that do even those things. The sermons that are on the website, that doesn't just magically get loaded up at 3 o'clock every Sunday. Do you know what someone does? They leave here. Well, they get it all set and prepped and everything. They leave here, have lunch. Usually probably at home, I would guess they do this. At home on a Sunday afternoon, they take time out of their schedule to make sure that that's uploaded so that when you're not here or someone's homesick or whatever, you can access that material. So when you're at home and taking that Baptist nap, man, they're working. And they don't want any recognition for this. And, you know, years ago, someone said, so should we get all our volunteers up on the stage? And I said, well, that's going to be a little tricky. One, because most of the church would be up on the stage then, because we have an amazing church that loves to serve. And then the problem comes in where, not a problem, it's a good thing, but it's a problem for putting them on the stage. Do you know how many people serve here? And they will literally tell me, hey, just between you and me, this is what I'm doing. Hey, just between you and me, this and this. Hey, you don't need to let anyone know that I'm doing this. And even those that are visible, our worship team, our praise team, the people that sing solos, the people that do instrumentals and all these things, the people you see, you know what their heart is? It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And so again, when we think about this idea of these things that we just see happening, I hope you take a moment today and just say, Lord, thank you for whoever is doing this. I pray you'd bless them for taking their time. They don't have to do this, by the way. They're not paid to do this. They're doing this because they want to. So again, so thankful for so many. Let's look at this idea of a faithful family we find in 1 Corinthians 16. You guys are keeping me going longer. I don't know what's going on. Chapter 16, verse 15. We see here, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, or Stephanus, you can say it, I've heard it both ways, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The household of Stephanus was vital in the beginning of the church at Corinth. You actually can jot this down if you're not on the outline. You can jot down 1 Corinthians 1, 16. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes here, and I baptized also the household of Stephanus or Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So we see here that the Apostle Paul says he baptized those in this household. He baptized this family, this individual and his family. But he says, even in that passage, above that or beyond that, I don't really know who else I baptized. And it's amazing when you read on there, Paul says, that really wasn't my ministry. Now, it wasn't that he was against baptism and he didn't baptize, because we know he did. He was a part of baptisms. What he's saying is, my number one primary goal is to preach the gospel. Like, that you come to Christ. That's first. Baptism is secondary to that. But then he says, he's not the one that always does the baptizing. That's really what he's getting at. Sometimes maybe Silas would baptize or other individuals would baptize. And so what he's saying is, this family, I specifically did the act of baptizing them. So what does that imply to us? They were close. They had a close relationship, Paul and this family. Paul recognizes this family as continuing to be impactful leaders in the church. They're not, we don't read of him as being a pastor or some kind of a deacon position. He's just a, what we call a lay leader in the church. Someone that is just actively leading in the church. He's communicating the gospel. He's working alongside Paul. Maybe not in an official position or a title, but he's serving the church in a leadership way. So between this family's baptism and the writing of 1 Corinthians, we see that he's still being impactful. Now, the church was established, the church of Corinth was established around 52 AD. The letter of 1 Corinthians was written around AD 55. So for that 3 to 4 years, what Paul's saying is, I baptized this family at the very beginning, towards the beginning of this ministry of Corinth. And now these 4 to 5 years later, they're still actively serving. What a testimony. And we think, well, it's 5 years. But these people are just actively serving. The Apostle Paul recognizes they're still actively leading in the church. That's a testimony of what they're doing for Christ. Now, in the verse, in the King James, in verse 15, it ends by saying that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And I know when you hear that, you think, well, I thought addiction was bad. Like, that doesn't sound like it should be there. And really, that word addicted is the right word, in a sense, for the original Greek word. But another way we could say this is that they were devoted to the ministry. They were set themselves voluntarily at the post for the service of the saints. They voluntarily said, we will stand the post. We will submit ourselves. We will position ourselves to be leaders in the church, to minister to the saints. When Paul says that they are the first fruits of Achaia, this does not mean necessarily that they were the first to be saved in that region. We know there's those in Athens that were saved earlier than this, which would have been before the beginning of the church at Corinth. However, what he's saying is he's speaking to the fact that others came to Christ in the church and through their ministry in Corinth. That those who came to Christ in Corinth after they were saved, they were the first fruits. They were the beginning of this move of God in this area, in this region, and in this church. Basically, Paul is saying that this family was instrumental in others coming to Christ. One author says it this way: according to the rank in which providence has placed them and the abilities which God has given them to the ministry of the saints. This family was devoted to the ministry of the saints. They were committed to the church. And I know we live in a day and age today that, and it's good that outreach is emphasized, community service is emphasized. You know, people say, go, we always say, go be the church out there. But it's not an either or. It's not a go be the church out there or come be the church in here. There's no division in the calling of being the church. When we gather together, we are here for the ministry of the saints, for the glorifying of the Father, for the promotion of the gospel. The church is for the body of Christ to come together and encourage and strengthen and pray and be ministering one to another. We are devoted to that as this family was. It's not just about what I get out of this. And if I come to church looking for how I can be served, I'm going to leave maybe defeated, discouraged. But man, we come in and we say, no, I'm here for the ministry of the saints. I'm here to do this ministry. Ephesians 4, what's the call of my job as a pastor? To help you to mature in Christ so that you can do what? Minister to the body. So you can be fruitful to the body. That's why we gather. The church is the gathering of the body of Christ. I am not individually the church. I am a part of the church. I'm a member of the body of Christ. And when we gather, that's what the church is recognized as in the New Testament. The word ekklesia, the Greek word which we use, we get the idea from church from, it literally means a drawn out, drawn to assembly. It's the idea of assembling together for the sole purpose of glorifying the Father, worshiping him, hearing his word preached, praising him through song. That's why we gather. And so when we come together, this family is a great example of giving ourselves to the what? The ministry of the saints, being devoted, being given to, setting our place and our post. Not only do we see this family as being devoted to the ministry, we also see that Paul was benefited by these individuals. So we know the ministry of the saints is where their heart was, but Paul goes on in verse 18. For they, these three, have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Acknowledge those like them. Acknowledge those who are serving in such a way that it's a refreshing thing to the body and a refreshment to the Apostle Paul. That's what he's saying. So in our understanding today, we would say those who are refreshing the church, being a blessing to the church and to the leadership of the church, we acknowledge them. That's why we do today. These men satisfied a longing in the Apostle Paul on behalf of the Corinthian church. It is believed that these men, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, who may have been members of the same household, so these other two, Fortunatus and Achaicus, could have been members of the household, or they could have been close friends of Stephanus, and they served in the church together. So they could have been close friends, and they served in the church together. Either way, these men were very much an encouragement. They brought the letter to Paul addressing the issues that arose in the Corinthian church. The issues that arose in the Corinthian church. So these guys are taking the letter to Paul that he then writes 1 Corinthians in response to this letter. So guess what was in some of that letter? Some of the things the Corinthian church was doing that wasn't good, wasn't right, wasn't fruitful. And so Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church, when they come back, receive them because they have actually refreshed me. They've been an encouragement to me and they're an encouragement to you. While this news of the Corinthian church falling into sin, different things going on, was obviously upsetting to Paul, he is thankful that in the church remain those who were faithful to the Lord. We see this in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 8. Also, Paul is thankful that they are seeking his wisdom and direction. So they come and present this news like, Paul, listen, there's some things going on in the church that aren't good. There's some sin and there's some confusion and some infighting and division. But also, there are those who are seeking the Lord. They're praising the Lord. They're faithfully walking with the Lord. And we need your wisdom. How do we discern this? How do we help those that are struggling? And how do we encourage those that are doing well? Ellicott's commentary writes this. They had come on behalf of the whole church there. Not enemies to bear tales, but well-wishing friends to obtain apostolic help and counsel for all. They're not coming to tattletale. They're not coming to just rat out the church. They're coming because they're, Paul, look, we love the church. You love the church. This stuff's going on. The remnant is faithful, but they're struggling. What do we do? How encouraging to Paul that they would come and seek his wisdom and seek his encouragement. While the church obviously had its issues, Paul still loved and missed the church. Now, I don't know about you, but you read about the church in Corinth, in the letter of 1 Corinthians. I don't know if that's a church I would love very much, right? A lot of stuff going on. But Paul had a love for this church. And why did he love this church so much? Because he saw the beginning of the church. He saw the salvations at the beginning of the church. He saw people's lives being changed. And he knows what God can do in a church that's on fire for him, that set his eyes upon him. And he also is real enough to know and aware enough to know that there's no such thing as a perfect church. And so just as a little bit of a heads up, side note, application, when you read 1 Corinthians and you think things like, I can't believe the Corinthians did this, pause and reflect. Because according to the Apostle Paul, we could end up there in a very short time. Because we're all human beings. We've all fallen short. There is none righteous, no, not one. And it's not hard to imagine people, human beings, sinning and have been divisive the way that they are here. And they argued over which teacher was the best teacher. Well, I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and I'm of this, and we do the same thing today. And so again, we can see these things manifesting, but Paul had a love for this church, and he missed the church. John Gill writes in his commentary, by their coming and presence, by the coming and presence of these three men, the very sight of them gave him, Paul, joy and pleasure, and more so, their Christian discourse and conversation. How refreshing a simple, encouraging word from a brother or sister in Christ can change the moment and refresh our spirit. And have you experienced that? You ever experienced that where you're going through something or you're just discouraged or just whatever, it's just a Tuesday and you're just not really into Tuesday and you're like, just I'm kind of frustrated. And then a brother or sister in Christ just sends you that text or shares that word of encouragement and it just lifts your spirit. That's why I love that he says, they refreshed my spirit. That's the only word I can think of, just this refreshing that comes over us. Real quick, anyone that's helping, I think most people stepped out, but anyone who's helping in the kitchen for food, you can go ahead and step out at this time if you need to. I think a few people did step out, but if anyone else needs to, just so you know, okay? All right, so number two. Now that we talked about this amazing family, what can we learn from this example? What can we learn from this example? Well, the first thing we note is we are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. This is the example we see in the household of Stephanas. They got active in serving the ministry of the saints. They did not wait, but jumped right in. Did you notice that? They were baptized at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, and by the end of it, they're faithful serving in the church to the ministry of the saints. They didn't wait. They didn't think, man, we have to wait to step in and step up. No, they just realized we have gifts and talents that we can use for the Lord. How can the Lord use that for his glory? They realized they had a blessed opportunity to use the gifts and talents the Lord gave them to minister to the body of Christ. Now, there's so many examples of this that I could give you. So many examples over the last weeks, month, year. But I was really encouraged this last week. Somebody stopped by the office, and they were just sharing with me a little something. And this person serves in our grief share ministry. And they were just having a conversation with somebody. And as they were talking to this person was sharing with them that they hadn't been in church in a long, long time. We're talking decades. But they had gone through something recently that really affected them, obviously. And so they were struggling with that and just dwelling on some things and thinking on some things. And here's the point of this. They made a comment that they said more or less that they began to reflect and remember all the things they were taught as a child about the Word of God. Decades later. And so this individual was able to draw on things they were taught as a child and the lessons they heard as from these teachers that stuck with them. Maybe it was VBS, maybe it was Sunday school, I don't know what it was. But somewhere, someone spoke the word of God into this person's life, and decades later, when they were in a difficult situation and season, the Lord used that to draw that to their remembrance. And I don't know if they're followers of Christ. I don't know any of that. I didn't meet the person. But if they're not, isn't it amazing that God will work to bring those things to our remembrance all those decades later? God is so gracious and faithful. But here's the key. What about the teachers, the workers, the volunteers, when this gentleman was a child that sat up studying lessons or preparing object lessons or memorizing the verses, or if it was VBS, putting on the costume and looking kind of silly, but getting up there and teaching the lesson and the impact these teachers had. And so I want to encourage you, you have no idea the difference you're making. You might not see it. By the way, a lot of times we don't see it. And all the people that have worked in children's ministry say amen. We did youth ministry for 11 years. And I've told people, some of our students, it's amazing to see them now growing and walking with the Lord and loving the Lord and serving him. It's just so cool to see. But then there's others that were in our ministry for years that, as far as I know, aren't in church, aren't walking with the Lord, aren't serving him. And if I'm not careful, I start to let my mind drift to those examples and go, man, we blew it. We blew it. Maybe we didn't teach it right, or we didn't connect well enough, or we didn't say it right, or maybe if we would have done this. And the Lord's so gracious, say, you have no idea the seeds you planted. Yeah, they're in their 20s, they're in their early 30s, and they're not maybe walking with me right now, but you have no idea when they hit that 45, 50, 60, and something comes to their life, and they don't know where to turn, but they remember that lesson. And so we have no idea. I just saw recently, some of you guys saw this too, a picture of one of our small group leaders praying with some of our Word of Life kids. Man, that just was awesome to see that. There were some other people in the background messing around, not paying attention. I won't name names. I think John Belasco was one. But that's, I could be wrong on that, John. I don't know. So, but to be fair, my wife was probably standing out there talking with him. So, she was probably out there. Not anyway, but it was after things were winding down. They're fine. But I saw that and I was just like, man, that's why we do what we do as a church. Because we want to impact people with the gospel. So you don't know the picture you're the impact you're making, but you know, because God's word says you are, you're making a difference. And ultimately, you're serving not so that you can see a difference made. You're serving because it glorifies your Father in heaven. Because he saved you so that you might serve him by serving his church. Not only are we saved to serve, and you can add on this, we're saved to serve, not to sit. But we're saved to be active in the ministry of the church. But also, I believe that we are present to refresh. We are saved to serve, and we are present to refresh. The word refresh means a renewal, a revitalization akin to a spiritual rejuvenation. It speaks of rest. It speaks of a rest and a time of just rejuvenating and kind of just getting reinvigorated again, and a ceasing of activity to be strengthened. That's what we're talking about. A ceasing of activity to be strengthened. And the Apostle Paul was needing that refreshment. Again, this is what these men did for Paul by simply being present. Did you get that? They just showed up. And they brought the letter and they asked some questions and they were seeking his wisdom, but they were present. Just being present was enough. Just being with him, bringing him news of the Corinthian church and their love for him was enough. So what a gift being present can be in someone else's life. Just being here. Just showing up. You have no idea the difference you can make. And we show up and we're present, but we're present looking for a way to refresh someone else. We come into these doors and we think, how can I help revitalize someone else's walk with Christ? How can I help rejuvenate someone else's well-being in Christ? These three men were ordinary men who saw an opportunity and took it. And honestly, I'm so thankful for all of those that serve here in whatever capacity, because in so doing, being present to serve, we are refreshed. Our children are refreshed. Our hearts are encouraged, and our burdens are shared and lifted, and we're refreshed. So my encouragement is to be present this week. Just be present. Now, this is true. I would encourage in services. Just be present. We live in a church culture. I've shared this so many times that it's very different than what it used to be. I was just talking with somebody else that they were noticing that it seems as though people don't join churches like they used to, and people don't commit to a local church like they used to, and people are actually kind of, in a way, a part of three or four or five different churches. And there's nothing wrong with connecting with other churches for ministries and things like that. Of course, that's fine, but we need to be connected to a local body of Christ. And so we can be present and serve and minister to one another, build those relationships so we can be there when another person needs it. So just being present in the body of Christ can make a huge difference, but also be present in someone else's life this week. Like, just set aside the distraction and just be present when you're with your spouse and you're having that conversation. Turn the TV off, put the phone away. Don't put it even in earshot or eye shot. Just put it away somewhere. Just be present with your kids this week. Have a conversation. Be present when that person at work is trying to tell you something and you're really distracted because you know you got 100 things to do. Lord, give me the moment of wisdom to just be present in this situation. Just be present can make a huge difference in someone's life, both in ministry and in everyday life. And you might say, well, I'm not part of an official ministry. How can I be present and change someone's life on a Sunday morning? By being present enough to, when you're having that conversation with that person and they say they're struggling, and the Spirit goes, you should pray with them. You walk off in the lobby on the side and say, hey, let's pray about that. Man, to be present makes an impact. And so, what do we do with all of this? I'm very much an application person. I want to help you with application. So in your bulletin, I didn't talk about this earlier, but you see there's an insert there. And so I want you to be encouraged to maybe pull that out at this time, or at least to maybe think on when you saw it earlier. And you don't have to do anything with this right now. This is not necessarily a right now thing. This is only begin to pray about, ask the Lord for wisdom. And if you know the Lord has already laid something on your heart, then it needs to be a right now thing. But if you're not sure, do not do anything with this, because the person sitting next to you, because you feel an emotional thing. I want you to make a decision based on what the Lord is leading you to do and act in regard to serving. And so in your bulletin, there is an insert. And this list of opportunities we have currently to serve. Of course, there are many more things than what are on this list, but these are the areas where we are currently looking for some extra help. So this is not an exhaustive list of all the different things you can do here, but this is something that we're saying, hey, here's some areas over the last, maybe the summer, the last couple of years, whatever, we seem like this is something that we can kind of always use a little extra help in, and especially as we're getting back into the fall, schedules are such, and we can always use different things. And so I want to encourage you to just look over this list. So we have children's ministry, support ministries, music ministry. These are some that we can just always look for more help in. Children's ministry, it's kind of self-explanatory. All the different classes that we offer on Sunday mornings. Nursery is actually Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Teacher's aid is literally a helper in the classroom. Just someone to come in and just be present. We actually have younger people, like some of our upper elementary and teenagers that are serving as helpers in these classrooms. That's awesome. But we have young people that are maybe sixth, seventh grade that are serving as volunteers because we don't have any adults that have stepped up and said, I'll do that. And I love the kids are in there. That's great. And we're not saying they can't do that and we'll continue to do that. But we want to make a rotation where there's so many opportunities that we're not having somebody serve in there once every other week or once a month, or maybe it could be once every 8 weeks. So we're always looking for help with those kind of things. Aids in junior church is always needed. Our first through sixth grade junior church, we're looking for two lead teachers that would be interested in stepping in, lead teachers. And this would be a commitment as of now, where every Sunday morning you're down there with the kids and you're teaching. And people say, well, I don't know, Pastor, that sounds like a sacrifice. It is until you do it. And then you realize, oh no, this is a joy if the Lord has for you to do that. So you can see all these things on here. Music ministry, special music offertories, that's instrumental vocals, worship team. Maybe you play an instrument. Maybe you want to sing in the worship team, whatever it might be. A sound and tech ministry, helping on services. There's so many things you do. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray over where and how you will step up and step in. How might the Lord use you to set aside time to be a minister to the saints, to be a servant to the body? Now, I did put this in my notes because I want to make sure I say this. Maybe the Lord has laid a completely different ministry on your heart that's not listed. That's awesome. It may be something we already do. It may be something we haven't done yet. And maybe that would be something the Lord would lead you to talk to me about. We can talk about it and see if that's something we want to pursue as a church. We may or may not. I always say this, just because someone has an idea of a ministry doesn't mean it necessarily fits maybe what we believe the Lord's leading us to do as a big picture. And that's okay, that's fine, but we can have a conversation about that. And maybe you're here and you aren't sure where exactly the Lord would have you to serve. That's okay too. You just don't know. That's fine, that's good, that's okay to be there. Begin praying for his guidance and wisdom, and he will guide you into where you can serve and how and when. Ultimately, here's the point. No matter what ministry we are serving in, all of us can be that refreshing encouragement to another believer, which is desperately needed in our world today. And so I want to encourage you to be, as we go to prayer and invitation, and we're going to have the band come in just a moment and lead us in a song of invitation, maybe you just begin to pray right where you are. Lord, how would you have me to serve your church? How would have you to have me to step in and step up and do something? And if you're here and you're already serving and you see these needs, I know what you're thinking. But no, you don't need to do it. Oh, but I could do that and that and that. I get it. Because if you have a servant's heart, you want to do everything because you know it's a need. And man, I appreciate that. I really do. I love the intensity of that. But this is where we just need to leave it in the Lord's hands. Because here's the thing. I always have believed, and I'll always believe based on the word of God, that every single local church has all the members within it that are needed to do the ministry of that local church at every given time. It doesn't matter whether we see it or not. We're fearful, and that's another thing. Don't be afraid. Well, I don't know. I could never Don't put limitations on what God can do when you just step out. Because you don't serve in your strength, you serve in his strength. I could never teach that class. Do you know how many times I've heard that from people? And then 6 months, a year, 2 years go by and they're like, I don't want to do anything else. I couldn't do anything else. I could never lead that group. I could never facilitate that Bible study. And then they love it because they know God is working. So whatever it is, would you begin to pray about God using you in some way to minister to the saints? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time this morning we could gather and worship you. And Lord, again, we praise you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through this time of invitation and prayer, that we reflect over how we can serve you by being a servant, being devoted. Lord, what a word that you chose to give the Apostle Paul to write. That this family was devoted, and they weren't abnormal. They were unique in the sense that they served as only they could. But you say in the verse, not only should we acknowledge that family at that time, but all who serve in that way. Lord, may we know that abnormal Christianity is not serving the church faithfully. That's Christianity. So help us to just see where we can plug in, where our unique gifts and talents can fit. And again, for those that are already serving in so many ways, Lord, I pray you'd bless them in a mighty way. And I pray they would know that they are needed and valuable to what you're doing here. Thank you for the body. Thank you for this church. Lord, I never knew what you would do all those years ago when I started here. I'm so thankful that we get to be a small part of what you're doing here and just see you work. It's so amazing. And so Lord, I pray that that would continue as we reach this community for Christ and exalt the name of Christ, which is above every other name. Be glorified now as we respond to the message and to respond to what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we're led in a song of invitation? Would you come if you want to pray? Lord, give me that wisdom of where and how to serve. Or maybe there in your seats. Whatever God is doing, would you respond?